Hello and welcome along. It's Andy, your host on this here podcast.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. Here we are, episode 7. Seems like I've been doing this months and months, and yet we're still only at number 7. But today's is a good one, and Harpreet Matharu from Matharu's World, a name were very well known across the industry, and privileged to get some of his time. He literally did disengage from a customer and then find time for me, so thanks very much to him for that. In very interesting origin story as well, so there we go. Let's crack on with episode 7 of the Wedding Professionals Podcast.
So here we are, episode 7, and today joined by Harpreet Matharu. Thank you for joining me and dragging yourself away from customers that are desperate to book you. I saw you showing some people around just a little while ago. So
yeah. I've got all the time in the world for you, Andy.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just don't call me on Sundays.
Did I call you on a Sunday?
I'm just telling
Thank you. So Matharu's World, we'll get to that in a little bit. What I'm more interested in is where it all actually started. So going back to day one.
Okay.
Tell me about that. Talk to me about that.
I think that the journey would have started when I was around about 14.
Okay.
My dad was working in for a venue, and I was just basically just going to help him with work. So he was a kitchen porter in one of the venues, which was quite busy in the Midlands. So just on the weekends, I used to go and help him, just a little bit of pocket money. And then I'd done well in my GCSEs, and I wanted to be a DJ, actually. So I asked him, I said to him that, Dad, I want to be a DJ. And because he said to me that if you do well in your GCSEs, that, you know, I'll give you a bit of money or whatever, and we can do something. So I was like, okay, I want to be a DJ. But he was like, you can't be a DJ. And I was like, all right then, cool. Do rule that one out. And then there was a new thing that was kind of coming up about that time, and it was the chocolate fountains. Right. So we invested in a chocolate fountain, a single chocolate fountain. And then the year after that, I think we had around about 4 or 5 chocolate fountains. And it just started from there, really, to be honest with you. From the chocolate fountains, we then purchased like a candy floss machine, slush puppies, our fresh orange juice machine. To be honest, like all the machines that you could think of, we had, and we were just basically providing them for weddings up and down the country. So that was something that I was doing. I was at college at the time. So Monday to Friday was college, Saturday, Sunday was, you know, doing all this. And from there, it's just kind of like, you know, every year we've always wanted to just grow, progress, had a look at the opportunities, had a look to see where the gaps are in the market, and just worked really hard and never give up, really.
So all this started with a chocolate fountain.
Chocolate fountain, yeah. My dad, I'm not into cars, but my dad had one of those old classic Rovers. It was a very old car. And what we used to do was, if we had an event booked and it was a chocolate fountain and an ice cream machine and a slush puffy machine, we would load the back of the Rover with one machine. He'd go and drop it off to one, you know, the venue, then he'd come back, we'd load it again, and then we'd load it again, and that's just how we were operating.
So it's hard work, yeah, all the time then.
It was hard work. So he would go to work, so he was working Saturday, Sundays, obviously, like, you know, working in for a venue, that's when you're busy. So let's just say, for instance, if we had a chocolate fountain events, he would start work at maybe 10 o'clock, and let's just say, for instance, if he needed to drop me off to a venue and the only time he could do that was 8 o'clock in the morning, he would drop me off to the venue. The venue would be closed, so I'd be sitting outside the venue on my chocolate fountain and just waiting for the venue owner to open it. Who would be surprised that seeing, you know, a young lad with a chocolate fountain there, and then they'd open up the venue and I'd just basically go set up the chocolate fountain and serve all the guests myself. Pack up the chocolate fountain, clean it, and then wait outside for my dad to finish work and pick me up.
So this kind of just goes to show that hard work, dedication and commitment can bring you wherever you want to be.
Yeah.
So was there a master plan to begin with, or were you content at that point with what you were doing, or in your head at the time, were you thinking in 10 years' time I want to own a venue or whatever? How did that go?
There was never a master plan. I just tried to do the best that I can do, and just tried to work hard, really. I mean, when you're young and you're that age, you don't really know what you want to do. So when I was 18, I was meant to go to university, and I ended up getting a job, door-to-door sales, business-to-business, basically. We were selling telephone lines, and I managed to do really well there. And to be honest with you, I didn't know that the job was commission only until probably 4 months in, when I didn't do any sales and I didn't get paid any money. And then I was like, I've not got paid this month. And there was like, basically, you know, you've not done any sales. And I didn't go to university at that stage. So it was a bit of a shock. I thought I'd take a gap year and I'll go to university afterwards. It was never a plan. I just basically just, you know, if you don't try, you don't know.
But kudos to your dad for sort of standing by you and just allowing you to do what you wanted to do rather than trying to force you into a career that maybe you weren't suited to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's basically supported me with whichever direction I wanted us to go in, he's basically supported that. So if I've seen a gap in the market and I've said that, you know, Dad, this is the way that we need to go, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to do. He's just basically been behind me with that, really, to be honest with you.
And he's hands-on here still to this day?
Yeah, he won't ever change.
Won't let go.
So he won't let go, but he keeps him active, it keeps him busy.
Sure.
I think that's good. I think as you get older, you need to stay busy. And we've tried that whole dad stay at home and sit down, and it's not good for him, basically.
No.
So he needs to be doing something. But, you know, he's been doing this for years. So it's just part of his blood, and you know, it's what he knows. And it's the same thing with me. It's all I know, really, to be honest with you. You know, when you're doing it from such a young age, it's all you know, and you just, yeah, we've just basically just stuck to our craft and hard work, dedication, never gave up. There's been many obstacles along the way, as is, you know, everybody experiences, but we just got to keep on going.
One of those obstacles, doubtless, was COVID.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a big venue here, Supreme Banqueting Suite. And yet, I mean, I've come today for the first time probably in about 6 months. And in the last 6 months, the outside garden has undergone a huge transformation. Yeah. So you're investing money again now, but how was the COVID period?
It was difficult. I mean, it was the first time in my life where probably I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And I wasn't sure what direction we were going in. It was something that was out of my control. Because it was out of my control, it was a new territory for me, really, to be honest. I think naturally probably a lot of people within the industry would have had a thought of, is this something that you want to continue with? But after all those things, I mean, you know, you have to look at the positives and everything. And you have to find solutions. And the way that I just thought is that whatever obstacle comes my way, this is a big obstacle. It's just gonna, the way that we get through this, and obviously, you know, the business, we got so many people working within the business, so it's not just my life that depends on this.
Sure.
It's a lot of people that are involved. So for that, you know, we had to think of ways and, you know, just revitalize the business and think of new strategies just to move the company forward.
Did you get sort of government assistance, grants and so on and so forth?
A little bit of help. I mean, we kind of fell in a certain category where we wasn't eligible for a lot of things, and it was a little bit difficult, and, you know, but you can't really dwell on it. I couldn't really waste my energy dwelling on that because there were so many other things to think about. You know, there was a lot of other stress at that time. So it was a difficult time, to be honest. I mean, but it was good. You know, we managed to kind of stick together as a company, and we were still coming in working, you know, in the office, just working on how we're going to improve the business. Because I think deep down inside I knew that it's not going to be like this forever. We just need to get through this part. And it was just that time we just took to ourselves.
So the Supreme Banqueting Suite itself, when did that? When did you buy this place? When did you open it? When would you first?
Yeah, so I took over this property like seven years ago.
What was it originally?
It was a venue before. Okay. So before this, we had a venue in Highgate on Highgate Road, and basically, yeah, this place got offered through to us. Obviously, with Matharu's, like, you know, we're a design company. We travelled across the country doing different setups and a bespoke design company. We cover pretty much everything with A to Z with interior design. I mean, the venue side of it just came in a certain way because we had experience amongst me and my dad with the venue side. When I was 23 years old, there was a venue that was supplying decorations, and the owner of that venue had to, you know, go to hospital, had an emergency operation that he had to do. So he landed an opportunity to me, which to manage that whole venue, so to take over the site and to run weddings and everything from there. So that was the first venue that we started with. Okay. And that was, you know, it was a big risk at that stage because it was just a different ball game.
Did you have confidence in yourself when you took it over, or were you crapping your pants thinking?
I was crapping my pants. I mean, I was working for a bank at the time, part time. So I went to see this guy to talk about some of the events. He called me like to have a meeting, and I remember I went into his office, and he just said to me, "Look," he goes, "I've got to go and have an operation. I'm going to give you the first chance if you want to take this on." And I went back and I sat down with my dad in the van, and I was like, "Dad," I was like, "he's just said this." And my dad just looked at me and he was just like, "Look, if you want to do it, if you think you can do it, just go for it."
Brilliant.
And at the time I was working, so I had to let the company that I was working for, I had to let them know the next day that, you know, because he wanted to know straight away. So I slept on it. I think deep down inside I knew I was going to do it. But it was a big decision. And yeah, I went into work the next day, handed him a notice. And then, to be honest with you, I never looked back since.
But that was really stepping off a cliff, essentially, really, wasn't it? Into thin air and just hoping that yeah, your talents would get you through.
Yeah, well, it was more a case of if you don't try, you're never going to know. And the only time you fail is if you don't try. And if you do fail, it's one less way of doing it. So, you know, all these kind of things were going on through my head. And, you know, being the eldest in the family, to really change our blueprint, I had to do something different, had to take on a different type of responsibility, a different type of stress. And I was aware of that. And because that was the only way and the only option that I had at the time, I had to make it work. So, you know, when you're put in a position where you either do or you don't, you either figure it out or you don't. And, you know, we figured it out.
And again, so the move from Highgate then to here.
Yeah.
This property popped up and you thought, yep, let's go for it, or?
Yeah, it was an opportunity that came our way. And it was just something that we thought that, you know, it's time to kind of take the next step. And, you know, we run the whole operation from here, really, to be honest. So.
So it was a size up as well, presumably the place in Highgate. At what sort of capacity did that have?
To be honest with you, that was a big capacity.
Okay.
It was a complex. It was a venue downstairs for 800 people, venue upstairs for 800 people. So we were basically, you know, running two events in the same day, as well as that, still doing the events in other venues as well. As we support, you know, obviously a lot of venues, if we can't facilitate anybody with some of the venues that we're working with, you know, we pass on a lot of work as they do through to us as well. So yeah, it was a good opportunity. I mean, it was a challenge. It was a challenge, to be honest with you. It got offered to me twice. The first time I wasn't too keen. And then the second time I was kind of in a bit of a situation where I had no choice, really, to be honest. So we took it on, and yeah, it's been good. It's a nice place. It's a nice location, yeah, we've got everything built in here.
And the transformation in 7 years, it's still ongoing now, as I kind of already said, the garden area outside and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Constant investment going on.
Yeah. So we're not where we want to be right now. I mean, I've got a certain vision in mind, and it's just going to take a bit of time. And so we've still got a lot going on. We're just trying to provide the best that we can do for our customers, really. The business is very customer-based. So we just sit down and think about what the customer's needs are and how we can facilitate that and provide them the best. So there's still a long way to go, but it's going in the right direction, which is great.
And I've seen some amazing transformations of that room in there. It honestly, you can do that and it's completely different. I think you had a family event just recently, didn't you? And you walked around with your phone on social media and it's just like, whoa, really? Is that's there?
Yeah.
So who comes up with those ideas? Have you got a team of people around you that kind of contribute, or is it in the back of your head? Or
For that particular event, it was a vision that I had in mind. I mean, you know, that was a family event, and it was my dad's 60th, and there was a certain vision that I had in mind. I was thinking about doing something for him for a while, and so it was just a thought process in my mind. I get a lot of inspiration from music, and generally speaking, when there's an idea or there's a vision, I would present it through to the team. This is what I'm thinking of doing. This is the kind of idea that I've got. This is what I want to do. And then we'll sit down as a team and just develop the idea, really, to be honest with you. You know, I've got a good team. I like for them to be creative. I like for them to have the chance to be creative and express themselves through being creative. So everybody gets a say and everybody gets to have an opinion and to what works and what possibly isn't going to work. And, you know, I like that, you know, we've got a very good environment, and it's good, you know, it's good for us, it's good for the customer, because we're always thinking of ways just to do something different, really, to be honest. And that's what we like doing. We like creating concepts and events that's just really outside the box.
And you do it really, really well as well.
Thank you.
What happens if a customer comes to you, wants to sort of book the place, but they want their decor company, or, you know, they've got an idea that they've already maybe approached somebody else for? Can you accommodate that, or?
Not really. I mean, if it's a service that we provide, then it's just, I mean, with how we work over here, we're open-minded. We don't mind working with anyone, really. But when it comes to the design side, you know, we've got such a big portfolio that really, I mean, any clients that would want to book over here, they wouldn't really need to look elsewhere.
And that, you know, if a customer is coming to you and they've got a particular theme in their head, you can then presumably with your team sit down with them and take them through and come up with a solution for them,
That's what we specialise in, So if we had somebody come to sit down with us, or they had an idea in mind, just how I had the idea for my dad's 60th, if all we need is an idea, if a client says to us, you know, this is a theme that I'm thinking of, we'll just take it from there.
What's the most outlandish theme or idea that's been brought to you, do you think?
We've done two Winter Wonderlands, and they were quite out there. They were fun. One was a first birthday party, and one was a wedding party. They were really cool. They were really cool. We've done so many. I mean, it's hard to think off the top of my head now, but I mean, they stand out a lot.
They're the ones like you look back and feel proud of, and how your team put it together.
My dad's one was a good experience as well. I mean, we basically built, you know, another venue inside a venue.
That's what.
It was quite crazy, really, and we'd done it in 5 days, so Monday to Friday, and the team just were amazing. Like, you know, we were under pressure. I think the guests were due to walk in and that. 2 or 3 o'clock. I think, you know, 3 o'clock, and everything was ready at 2 o'clock.
Wow. So, over a 5 day schedule.
Over a 5 day period, yeah.
Blimey.
Hi, everybody. It's me again. Just a quick interruption. Just to say, if you are enjoying what you're listening to, and I sincerely hope that you are, and if you are, then please, the biggest way you can support this podcast is to share it. And let's get the word out there about what a great industry this is. So please, you can send me some cash if you like, but I'd much prefer that you share it on social media, share it on social media, share it on social media. Let's get the word out there. And thank you very much for your indulgence. And we're back to episode 7 with Harpreet. Thank you very much.
Do you actually feel successful in yourself, or you sort of hinted earlier on that there's bigger plans, you know, looking forward? Do you feel successful currently?
I don't really think in that way, to be honest with you. I don't look at myself and think, am I successful? Or I don't really think.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should. You know, I do take a moment and sometimes stop and think within myself. You know, you do have to be grateful for, you know, the journey and where we're at and the possibilities that we have and the opportunities that are in front of us. But you know, this is just the beginning for us, to be honest with you. So it's hard for me to sit back and relax and look back now, because, you know, we've still got a long way to go.
Essentially then, maybe there's a lot more to come from you, and so that success is still eluding you. You're racing yourself for success.
Yeah, I can't at the moment. I mean, we can't look back, and yeah, there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
But when we get there, then I can look back and think, but right now it's still on the grind.
Yeah. And so Matharu's World, this sort of concept, talk to me about that. What's the notion behind it?
It's just an environment. It's just an energy. It's just a platform for people in the events industry, clients, whether they be corporate, whether they be anybody that's doing an event, brides, grooms, anyone really. I mean, you know, we are a very creative, innovative team. I don't believe in impossible. So if somebody wants to do something, if somebody wants to do something crazy for an event, a concept, they have an idea and they want to do something different, then we're definitely the people to speak to. That wasn't me trying to sell them.
No, it's fine.
This is
that's
me
fine.
Just talking. But I mean, you know, it's just an environment. It's just an energy that we have. It's a world that we've created. We've looked at, you know, bride and grooms. I mean, it's like when you're having a wedding, it's a stressful time. There's so many things that, you know, you have to do. There's so many things that you have to take care of. And we just basically just have created something and are creating something that is very customer focused. And we're just doing the best that we can do for our customers in this market.
How has the cost of living crisis impacted what you're doing? Because I mean, even the cost of food, for instance, has just gone through the roof. So
yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, when we talk from a business sense, I mean, you know, some of the suppliers that we work with and their prices have gone up. I understand where they're coming from, because, you know, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into work, and everybody's obviously doing this for a living. We are, as a company, becoming more efficient with, you know, just how we're operating as well, because, you know, the prices, the energy bills, all that kind of stuff, everything shot up. And so it has impacted us as well. But again, you know, you just have to, it's just the way that it is. And again, you can't really dwell on it. We're more think of, okay, what's the solution for us individually or as a company just to move forward.
So looking back over the previous, what was it, 8 years, 9 years, 10
yeah,
years?
Yeah.
What do you think you've learnt to date? What's the biggest single lesson that you've learnt doing what you do?
I think in general, I mean, me, myself, it's not just like, I think that you just have to, whatever you want to accomplish, whatever you've got in your mind that you want to accomplish, you just have to do it.
So somebody coming into the business today,
yeah,
can start with a chocolate fountain.
Anything's possible. Yeah. You know, I sometimes see people in the events industry that they remind me of me. You know, like sometimes you get some youngsters coming in and they've just set up a little business. Anything is possible. You just have to work hard and you just have to keep going. And
do you ever take those people to one side and go, do you know what, this is exactly how I started?
Not at the moment, because there's still a long way for me to go. But I mean, as a company, we basically just try and work with everybody as best as we can, whether they've got a brand name or whether they haven't. We just want to support people and support companies and support people that want to start off in business or doing something just to better their lives, because that's just what we would, that's what, how we started. We were just trying to earn a little bit of an income just to, you know, put food on the table.
And really, this is all your own doing. That you weren't really mentored by anybody as such, really, were you? Or is this is just your core being?
Well, I've learned through mistakes. So all the mistakes that I've made.
We all do.
I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've learned from them. I failed many times, but I got back up and just, you know, you learn, and this is one less way of doing it. Okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to try that. You learn, and you just basically just, yeah.
I was going to ask you about the sort of family time balance, but if you're not married, I mean, solely your time is either here or, judging from social media, in a gym somewhere, getting ripped.
There is no balance. I mean, I'm trying to work on a balance, but I'm not too overly fussed about it right now. I mean, you know, yeah, I've at the moment, a lot of my time and energy and effort is in work, but what I'm trying to create, it requires that of me to do that. So I'm aware of that. So what I'm trying to do, I can't accomplish in 8 hours a day. I've got a good team around me. I've got a good support network around me. And whenever I need time, the business still keeps moving forward because of the team that I've got. We're all on the same vision, all on the same page. And, you know, it's not just one mind. I've got a few minds within the business that really want to kind of take it to that vision that we have. But obviously, family is a priority. So,
but for all the single ladies out there, you know, what a catch.
Yeah, for all the single ladies, if you want to get married and you can book our services, I think that's what happens, doesn't it? rather than me getting hitched up.
I was trying to get you a date.
It's a potential bride.
As you look around the industry, who inspires you, and who do you admire in the industry? Would you say
there's a few companies? I mean, a lot of the companies, to be honest with you. I mean, when you know the people and you know how they've started and how they've worked, and it's inspiring. I think with I get inspired by a lot of things, to be honest.
Okay.
Even at times, you would have inspired me as well. You know, the way that I'll probably see how you're dedicated to your craft, makes me, I thought that a few times, and it made me think of something in a different way, because you actually take what you're doing very seriously.
Yeah.
And everything has to be perfect for you to be able to do the best that you can do. And I noticed that about you. I get inspired by a lot of things.
Yeah, I think a lot of suppliers are the same. And sometimes the hiccup is when you get one cog in that machine that is maybe selfish about it, or doesn't really care about what they're doing. They're just there for the dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when it sort of falls apart. But I think generally most people in this industry that I've come across are absolutely 100% dedicated to making the wedding about the couple and not about themselves.
Well, it's a big responsibility at the end of the day. It's a big responsibility, and you know, it's a certain lifestyle that you have to have in this industry as well, isn't it? So it's a certain kind of personality that you have to be able to move forward in this industry, because it's weekends, it's all that kind of stuff. But it's good to be around like-minded people, and I take a lot of inspiration from, you know, companies like Apple.
Okay.
Yeah, so they would be like my kind of companies that I have a look at and think, wow, I just love how they're operating, their mindset behind the business.
Despite their crappy phones.
Do you think Samsung? I've got a couple of iPhones.
Samsung all the way. Just looking back again over the career, what would you say was a couple of your biggest milestones, apart from the first day when you bought your first chocolate fountain?
Yeah.
A couple of moments through your life when you've kind of looked back and thought, oh yeah, that was the moment that everything changed.
I won. I was, because when I first started to do this, it wasn't something that I was thinking that I'm going to have a career in. And I was at one stage when I was 23 I had a couple of obstacles that came my way that, you know, to me at the time were big, and I wasn't going to do it anymore. And I won Young Entrepreneur of the Year for the Asian Business Chamber of Commerce.
Really?
So that was in 2016.
Yeah.
So then that kind of just gave me some motivation to keep on going.
How old were you then at that point?
I was 24, I think I was. Yeah, 23 or 24.
That's some accolade though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It hasn't got me anywhere.
No. Well, I've had this discussion about awards.
I think I know your views. I've read your statuses before.
No, but Gervia Joe Health photographer.
Yeah.
He was sort of relating a story about a photographic award, and his mindset was quite similar to yours, in as much as it's like it doesn't get you work. And then another photographer was admiring this award that he'd won.
Yeah.
And he said, look, if you think that's going to get your customers, have it, because I'm not going to display it.
Yeah.
So it's it may not have got you anywhere, but maybe it gave you the motivation to just...
Yeah, of course. I'd say that. And then COVID as well, like, you know, after COVID. I think COVID was a time where it was like, okay, do I continue? Do we do this? Do we do that? You know, do I want to do this? And then when I reached that point where I made a decision that this is something that I'm going to do, this is now the new vision that I've got, and this is the way that we're going to go, and there's no ifs and buts about it, but we're just going to make it happen. And I think from there, it's just been a different type of movement.
Yeah. Is your job fun?
You have to make it fun.
Okay.
You have to make it fun. It is fun, yeah. I mean, like, you know, it is fun, yes. You know, like any other job, yeah, it has its moments. But it is fun, yeah.
I suppose maybe if you're getting celebrities or stuff performing here, then it's nice to meet your heroes. Something along those lines, maybe?
No, I mean, I'm not really fussed about stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, doesn't faze you?
Not really.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah, it's fun, like, you know, just to be part of people's big days, really. I mean, like, you know, you create something, like, you know, when you see the bride and grooms enter, the families enter, it's something that they think about all their life, isn't it? The parents think about that for their kids.
Yeah.
The bride and groom think about that as well. So to be able to deliver that and then see the smile on their face and just see that kind of energy and that happiness, I mean, that's a good feeling, that is.
How often do you ever get to see the video trailers from companies where, you know, your venue is front and centre in the film? Do you ever kind of see those shots that we bug you for hours to get an empty room? It's just like, come on. So, you know, do you see the final cuts of those ever? And do you look at them and think, oh, yeah, we really look good there?
To be honest with you, I don't, you know, which is a shame. So I think I'm expecting some from you now. You're gonna have to send me some over.
Yeah, I thought you'd be tracking social media much more than that, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, we have our own marketing that we do, so I see all of the work that we kind of put out, and then, yeah, sometimes, you know, you're tagged in certain things and the office will show me certain things. So it's cool. I mean, there's a lot of talented people out there at the moment, and it's good to see.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So what's your sort of overall approach to social media? Do you think it puts you front and center, or are you reliant on it in any way to gain you new clients, customers?
I think in today's modern society, you know, it plays a big part. It's going to play a big part because it's just the way that the world's moving forward. And you know, it's a way, I think you have to use it as a positive, and it's just a way that you can show your creativity. And we've not been active on it as such. I mean, you know, we've not been active on it as such, but it's something that we've got in the pipeline. So it is important in this day and age, definitely.
How do you think you appear to your competitors? Do you think they bother taking the time to look and see what you're doing and then copycat, or no?
I don't know, you know, to be honest. I mean, I try not to... I mean, I don't really think about... I don't think about other people, really, to be honest with you. I think, you know, everybody is doing the best that they can do. Everybody's doing the best that they can do, and everybody's trying to make a living. And, you know, I'm just too really focused on what we need to do, really.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, the note's just been pushed under the door. Need room two at 3:45, please. So I better wrap up with the very last question, which is the same one I ask everybody. And I think you've already given the answer, actually. But if you weren't doing this for a living, but I could give you the skill set and the tools to do any other job in the wedding industry, what would it be?
In the wedding industry, what would I do? I think I'll be a DJ, you know.
Yeah, I thought this was coming.
Because you can get a team in to just set up the stuff. You just have to rock up at a certain time, play some music.
Go ahead.
It's not that easy. It's not that easy. I know it's harder than that. But yeah, you know, I love my music, really, to be honest with you. So I think I'll be a DJ. It's quite a cool thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a very cool thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we could set up a DJ company, me and you.
I would be rubbish. And with my commercial radio voice, I don't think I'm good for that. But listen, thank you very much for your time. I so appreciate it. And yeah, brilliant. There we go. Thanks very much.
That's great. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
So there we go, dear listener. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that little chat with Mr. Matharu. And hopefully we will see you on the next episode of the Wedding Professionals Podcast. Just before I go, one last shout again. Please, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, share it out. Get it on social media, share it far and wide. That's the biggest way you could support if you're so minded. So thank you very much, and hopefully you'll tune in for episode 8. Catch you soon. Bye.